Have any of you ever seen the show MythBusters? MythBusters. In the show, there are these two guys, and what they're trying to do is take on something that is pretty much accepted as being true, and they try to prove that it's not true. Sometimes they succeed, sometimes they don't. But it's in the midst of their doing that that we find the entertainment, I guess. And they're using the word myth to mean how it's usually used in our culture, our society. A myth is something that's somehow not true. And so they're trying to prove it. In the world of theology and spirituality, we oftentimes use the word myth in a different way. We oftentimes use the word myth to mean something that it may not be literal or historical, but it's a story or a tale that has great truth to it. It's a different meaning than the word myth. But today, I want to use the word myth the way the MythBusters use it. It's an interesting thing. I would like to challenge the MythBusters to take on a myth. And it's this. There was once a time when the church was just one loving, agreeable group of people, and everybody saw things the exact same way. We sometimes tend to think like that. We tend to think there was a time when the church was just this one monolithic entity. Everybody used to agree on everything. I would propose to you that's a myth. Krista Tippett once said that we need to know our history, because if we don't know our history, we start to say dumb things about it. We begin to say things about it that really don't really capture it. And when we do that, oftentimes our history can become just nostalgia. We can begin to look at the past and history as, oh, I wish we could get back to the past. Well, that's not to say there may be things in our past that we'd like to have again. We're all there. But if we have an unclear nostalgia view of history, we can think that it's just so much better than it. I wish we had. I propose to you that the church has always, in its history, struggled with differences and diversity, and yet has somehow struggled to remain, have a sense of oneness to it. I want to share a story with you from my seminary days. I was in the seminary in the mid-1970s, it seems like a long time ago. As I get older, though, some of you probably think that's nothing. But for me, it seems like it was a while ago. As many of you know, I was originally ordained in the Roman Catholic Church, so the seminary I went to was a Roman Catholic seminary outside of New York. And all the seminarians there were men, were guys. I guess back in the 70s, even Episcopal seminaries were all men as well. The only difference in the seminary I went to, they're still all men. But there were a group of us that got to be really good friends, about five or six of us that we used to hang out together, cafeteria, eat together, and got to know each other. And it was an interesting group of people because we were very different. Some among us were conservative, some among us were liberal, some among us were progressive, some among us were more traditional. And yet we hung out together. We got to be really supportive of each other in the midst of our different ideas and opinions on things. And there's this memory that sticks in my mind. And, whenever a memory sticks in your mind, oftentimes you begin to explore it, because you wonder if it has some kind of meaning that you maybe didn't grasp the first time, why it's still surfacing in your mind. This is a memory I have, and I think it speaks something I'd like to share with you today. The group of us in the seminary, we were going to go out to get something to eat one night. Some of the food in the cafeteria was good. Some of it was unidentifiable. A few times a week we decide to go out and get a bite to eat, go for a burger or a pizza or something. So we decided this one night that we'd meet at the entrance of the seminary doors at 6:30. It's me at 6:30, we'll head out and get something to eat. So I got down there a little bit before 6:30. There were about three of us. There were six of us so at the time. There were about four of us that had gotten there. And one of the four was Don. Don was someone I'd known actually from college and through seminary. And Don was standing there, and three of us got into this conversation, heated conversation, debate, about something. What's interesting is I have this memory, but I can't remember what it is we're talking about. But I remember that we were pretty firm. heard what the book was. And we're getting into this kind of argument, and we're waiting for the other two friends of ours to join us and downstairs to join us as we go. And it was cranking up pretty hot. And all of a sudden, these two came along, came to the door, and Don turns and says, "Hey, look, you're right,
you're right, and you're right.
Let's go get something to eat." And out the door we went, and we did many talks. We just had a good time, kind of relief from some of the studies. And we continued to be friends throughout the seminary years, and also after ordination, some of us still continued to get together occasionally, once a month, maybe a couple, every other month, just to get together and be supportive of each other. But I propose to you that statement of God has a deep theological significance. Because what it was saying was, it's not about what we're discussing or doing. It's about being in relationship. It's about being at the table. It's about what's trying to get something to eat. And I propose to you that as we continue to live into the mystery of the church, live into the mystery of the oneness that we're called to be, that in many ways, you're right, and you're right. And we come together every Sunday to come get something to eat. We come to the table. We come to the Eucharist to be fed and to be nourished and to be in relationship with each other. That's one of the charisms of the Episcopal Church within the largest of the Christian community that struggles to live into this idea that it's in relationship together that we live out our lives, even though we may have different opinions, sometimes debating, discussing, getting heated, but in relationship with each other, we live into the oneness that we are involved in. I think our readings this morning kind of call us to that. The Gospel is from John's Gospel is considered what's called a high priestly prayer. It's this intimate writing of Jesus talking to his Father, talking to God the Father, and praying in the sense that saying the oneness that we have, may those whose lives have been touched share in that oneness, share in that relationship, share in that being together. I would imagine by the time John's Gospel was written, which is anywhere after 90 AD, many think it could be much later, the church has been around a while. The community was beginning to form and develop. I'm sure it was struggling in its ability to stay together, to stay one, as it began to disperse throughout the world. So the Gospel today talks about that ability to be one. And the model is the relationship of Jesus and his Father. Being in a relationship. And the reading from Acts is Paul and Silas. It's an interesting story. The story is that they go out, as Paul did, and he's preaching the good news, and there's this woman in this town who is a fortune teller. So she is involved in divination. She tells the future, and she earns money by doing that. And that money is passed on to her slave owner. And the slave owner gets upset, not so much at the gospel, but he gets upset that this slave of his is now following Paul. He's losing money. And he gets upset about it. The whole town begins to get upset. Paul and Silas are arrested, and the story goes on as we read this morning in jail, as they live to the cold they have. You can imagine in the early church, as Paul began his ministry, Paul's ministry was to go beyond the Jewish community, going to the Gentile world, to go beyond the community that they knew. You can almost imagine the early Jewish Christians saying to Paul, Can you just stay the way we are? Can we just be this Jewish community? We're kind of just causing diversity, change. And Paul goes out and brings this message to a larger world, and that had to be a struggle for the early Christian community. And yet, it had oneness. It had community. Not the kind of community where everyone saw everything the same way, but in a way that they lived into relationship. They stayed together in relationship. And that, to me, is something we can still learn from our roots, from our tradition, from our history. I think we can certainly continue to live that in our church life. I think Washington could benefit from the